Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And, besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And the crowd goes wild! Welcome to the Mark Unger Show, where we discuss all things concerning love and marriage. I gotta find that song. We should have that song. True
goes together
love.
Like a
true wow.
Marriage, that wicked arrangement, that dream within a dream.
I'm so sick. I just love that. Anyway, welcome to the Mark Unger Show. It is Friday.
Yes, it is. TGIF.
What a thrill. What a joy. What celebration as the crowd goes wild out there in
Cyberland.
I'm here with my wonderful co-hosts, the lovely Ms. Diane Brierley, the rose among thorns, as it would be.
You got that right. Sitting here with you two schmucks. Oh, somebody actually told me that the pictures, the three of us that Isaac took, that because you two are so goofy, it makes me look even better. I'm not kidding. That's honest for true. Somebody told me that.
Listen to her.
Because I'm with you two.
That's the key.
Are you sure that conversation really happened?
The way to really look good when you take a picture is be with two ugly guys is what you're saying.
Basically what they said. Pretty much. So if I
but
hang
all,
out with you
all
two
it was,
all the
we were
time,
just
I
screwing
look
around, though. It didn't say that we looked bad. We were just screwing around.
So are you saying that we're ugly?
I didn't say that.
You didn't say that.
The person
else
that was having
that.
The conversation with me said that.
No, that was implied.
The other ugly person which she is referring is Ross Allen Skorzewski, producer and psycho crazy guy on the program.
That's right.
Welcome. Thank you. In the background, the delightful Ms. Dana Mueller. The German chick.
He will
She's like,
always
it's Miller.
Say that.
It's Miller.
It's Miller.
It says Müller. Sieg Heil Müller. It's just very German.
It will never die. Dana, it will never die.
And engineering out there in who knows where is Tim Ray, the engineer of the program. Glad that you're listening today on the Mark Unger Show. And Mrs. Brierley, what have we?
We have a story from the Huffington Post. Do you ever look at that?
Yeah.
Usually I don't look at
her.
It. I don't like it that much.
I met her.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah, I videotaped her some years ago when I had a video production company. She
really?
Used to be a conservative.
Yeah.
Was
I heard that.
Yeah.
National empowerment.
And then, I don't know, she went psycho crazy and she's now a big lefty. But
I look at it once in a while. There isn't much on there, but you know who they do have on there? Your rabbi. Your rabbi.
Shmuley Boteach.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Who names their kid Shmuley?
So I'll find
Shmuley.
Things
you name your kid Shmuley? You should be beaten to death. Shmuley.
Sorry, I brought it up.
Man, how do you not get the snot kicked out of you as a kid?
Ask him.
Hey, Shmuley.
Sure
Was that the guy from Shalom in the Home?
It is, actually.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very nice guy. And he wrote a book entitled Kosher Sex.
Yes.
Great book, actually.
Yeah. He has some good
articles
on
there. I'd like
to
meet the guy. I've never met him.
We'll see if
I'm
we can
sure
arrange
it would be,
that.
I'm
get
sure
on
it would
it,
be
Ross.
A great honor for him.
Well, no problem.
But
anyway,
they started doing this whole divorce column thing, and they're doing a little bit more on marriage, so I've been checking and watching. But this one happens to be four relationship myths that almost everyone perpetuates.
Wait, I had to copy that. Where is it?
I gave it to you. There you go. There you go. There you go.
There it is.
Apparently, it comes from her book, Five Simple Steps to Make Your Marriage Go From Good to Great. But she says that there's lots
Arianna of... Arianna Huffington wrote a book
No. It's Terry Orbach. Terry Orbach. She's an author, therapist, and a professor
is
who's known
Terry
as the love doctor.
Orbach.
See, you can't be...
Who's writing this?
No.
Terry or Buck?
Is it Buck or is it Terry?
I'm sure that she would appreciate that.
I'm sure she would, yeah.
I'm sure she's listening,
I'm sure she listens to this show.
Right. We'll be getting a hate mail now.
Yeah, all right.
So she said that a lot of our opinions and the things we believe are based on misconceptions and myths, mm-hmm. and that we all perpetuate them. The first myth is that opposites attract and are more likely to stay interesting to one another over the long haul. That's right. What people believe.
That's the myth?
That's the myth.
That's what she says is a myth.
She's saying is a myth. When the fact is, she said, my research and that of others showed that similarities are what actually keep people together for the long term and lead to the most successful and happy relationships. In my study, happy couples might have...
In my study?
Yes.
That's what everyone else studies, and there's my
study. That's right.
Yes.
That the happy couples might have very different tastes in music, different uh-huh. social backgrounds, uh-huh. or even different religions, uh-huh. but the key aspect they shared...
Okay, you Nimrod chick, listen to this.
...was the similar basic values.
She says, it's not opposites that attract. Because in my study, couples may have different tastes in music, social backgrounds, different religions. Hey, sweetheart, that is opposites.
Right?
That's right. But then the takeaway, look down below, she says the takeaway is if you want to find someone to grow old with, look for someone who has values that are compatible with yours. And you do say that.
Yeah, I agree.
The shared values.
I agree. But I think that people do, they are drawn to opposites. I think she's wrong. I think opposites do attract. Now, what she means by that, I don't know what she's trying to correct here. I guess if you're thinking that we have no shared values, that somehow we would be good for each other, I would agree with her there. But you know, you got people who are like really loud, talky, often married people who don't talk much at all.
Right.
Or, you know, you got someone who's
social butterfly and one
social butterfly don't want to be around people. Right. You know, that happens all the time.
Right.
I think that what happens during the dating process is you run into someone where there's no competition for what you really want, mm-hmm. and you sense something in someone else that seems very, very different. Of course, it drives us crazy later when we get married.
Well,
you know?
Is that what she's saying? The myth is opposites attract and stay interesting. Is it really because you are attracted to somebody who's opposite, but it does drive you crazy? Is that what she's trying to say, perhaps?
I don't know what she's trying to say. I guess. First of all, she acknowledges that these couples are very different.
Right.
In her study. My study says everybody's really different, but that has nothing to do with it. But that they share basic values. Well, of course, you got to have some basic values. Actually, I think couples, you know, especially when you get to different religions and stuff, your different social backgrounds, that can really mm-hmm. be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But that, when I talk about opposites, I don't really mean that kind of thing. You know, Yakov Smirnov, Mr. Smirnov, the Russian comedian, Vada country, you know, great guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I love
mm-hmm.
this guy. Actually, we've become pretty good friends over the last month. Here. And we're planning on doing, I don't know if I told you, we're looking at doing like 10, 11 performances
because
with him
next
year.
Stand up for marriage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a stand up for four comedians that got together, promoted marriage, and he really likes this stuff. So I'm going to be doing 10 or 11 of these with him around the country. Stay tuned. We'll let you know where those are going to be. But anyway, he's got a great theory because he says a lot of the interdynamics between people, because he's a performer, has to do with performer and audience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and in fact, he was saying one of the reasons that grandparents and grandchildren mm-hmm. get along so well is everybody knows who's the performer and who the audience is.
Sure.
So by and large, it's the grandparents who are the performers all the time, and the kids just know that, and the grandparent knows that, and the kid is the audience, and they know it, and there's these clear lines, and when there's a clear distinction between performer and audience. There's a quicker connection. This is his whole thesis as a performer. I think it's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What happens with children and parents? Oftentimes, they become competing for who's going to perform and who's going to be the audience. Mm-hmm. So it becomes more problem. But even in couples, I see that where the one of them does something and the other one's responding to
sure.
it. And it kind of pulls them together. I saw this with you and Leslie actually a lot. In fact, Leslie, Ross would come over and say, "Hey, Ross, do that thing. Do that one thing, and he'd start acting up and she's just giggling and crazy. So she was egging him on to perform because she was happy being the audience. You know
Absolutely,
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that kind of thing goes. Mm-hmm. So I think in that aspect, opposites attract because you get one person who can shine in one area mm-hmm. and doesn't necessarily have to compete with the other person in that, mm-hmm. in that area. So anyway.
It's the drastic different religions, different cultures that
But what she's saying in her studies, even that's not the big problem.
Right.
She says they can even have that, but you have some similar basic life values.
Okay.
That I would agree with.
Sure.
So I guess I would just disagree with her basic premise. I don't think that's what people are saying, right, that you shouldn't have basic life values.
Okay.
Anyway, they're paying her to write stories. She's got to write a story. That's one. All right.
Number two, you'll like this one.
What was the takeaway, would you say?
The takeaway is, if you find someone to grow old with, look for someone who has values that are compatible with yours.
Definitely would agree.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. You agree with that.
All right.
Number two, the myth is a perfect relationship means no conflict.
Yeah, I agree with that. That is a myth.
That's a myth. Absolute myth. She says a lack of conflict in a relationship signals that you may not be dealing with issues that really matter. In a surprising finding from my long-term study of marriage.
My study?
The couples who reported...
What is this lady?
I don't know. She's a doctor, you know, whatever.
My study. Okay.
Anyway, her couples who reported no tensions or differences about money, family, spouse's family, leisure time, religious beliefs, or children were not very happy over time.
Ooh, repeat that again. No, the couples who have no
reported tensions or differences about
money...
Family,
spouse's family,
leisure time, religious beliefs, or children
were
not very happy over time.
So if you guys are arguing and yelling about money, family, spouse's family, leisure time, religious beliefs, or children, welcome to the happy club.
You're happy now.
You're happy now, baby, because now you are. You know, I heard a pastor once, God bless his pee, pick, and heart, but he's obviously wrong.
His what?
Pee, pick, and heart.
Pee, pick, and heart.
You've never heard that?
I couldn't say that fast enough to make it sound right.
Yeah, I've heard it. My grandpa used to say that.
Look it up. Look at pee, picking. Ross is now the person who has to look up stuff. Pee, picking. Pee, picking heart. Bless her. Pee, picking heart. His pee, picking heart. He was basically preaching about marriage, and he said, step number one, if you're going to have a successful marriage, number one, avoid conflict. Now, this is a national preacher. Everybody knows who he is, and I won't say it. Just try to be nice here. But seriously, dude. You moron. That's the worst thing you can do. Avoid conflict?
Well, how do you deal with the stuff and junk and garbage of life?
Well, what happens is the people who avoid conflict, then the conflict builds and builds and builds. All the weight of what you're not talking about, they keep putting it on the shelf, and eventually the shelf breaks.
And everything.
That's very bad advice, and I agree with this lady that the idea that a perfect relationship means no conflict is pure hooey.
I knew you would agree with that one. And she says that the takeaway is, don't shy away from difficult conversations. Learning how to disagree in a healthy, productive manner is a key component of happy relationships.
Agreed. Okay, another check there. Two checks.
Ding,
the
ding.
Takeaways. We've agreed on the two takeaways. Yes. What are you giggling about over there, squirrel
boy? Did you find it?
I did, but you know, it's when you're being a super big pain in the and a big baby, she would say, well, bless your little pea picking heart. And that meant, oh, I feel sorry for you. You poor little thing. Or even, you stink. But it wasn't stink. It was...
what are you reading?
This is answers.com. Wiki Answers for
I've never heard pea picking heart that way.
In other words, someone's being a real...
pain in the butt.
Rear end.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's what they would say. But they still don't say where it came from.
He wants the etymology.
I'm getting there.
I want the what?
The etymology.
Etymology. I would like the etymology because I am a very experienced etymologist. And my studies show
I've got to get to your study.
Yes, go to my study.
It's your study. Keep looking,
Ross. Number three.
The myth is having separate lives keeps couples together long term. She says interdependence, social, emotional, and financial is what creates the incentive for couples to stay together. It's also important to be independent, to have your own interests, activities, and friends. This adds excitement and freshness to relationships, but couples who live parallel lives and don't invite their spouse into their world on a regular basis tend to grow apart and be unhappy over the long term.
You know what this means? You shouldn't date someone from a parallel universe.
That's a good idea.
Because when you meet someone from a parallel universe, they seem like they're the right kind of person.
That's right.
But it's a parallel universe, and it's not. Is that the takeaway?
No, not exactly. Oh. But.
Hey, you ever watch Fringe? You ever watch the show Fringe?
No, it was too scary. I watched like the first episode and a half, and it freaked me out, and I
really?
Never watched
it
again.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Oh, no.
It was a little creepy. It's also very. But you know what?
It's
one of these shows that if you haven't followed it from the beginning,
you don't get it.
You have no idea. I don't see how these. It's like. They build an audience and in the first couple of weeks, and then you're stuck with that audience for life. How do you grow?
Because you can't get somebody else.
Do you watch it? Ms. Mueller? You don't watch it?
I've always wanted to, but like...
You just seem like
a fringe. You can't jump in.
You seem like a fringe kind of chick to me. Yeah. Kind of on the fringe.
Because I'm kind of like...
Dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. Yeah, all right.
It was the first or second episode when the lady was having the baby and her whole stomach was exploding and this weird thing. It was just creepy to me. I couldn't watch it. That's not normal. Sorry.
But anyway, they have a whole thing about parallel universes in there. As if you cared. As if you cared. Anyway.
I don't think that that's what this.
But what was the takeaway? That you need interdependence, not having separate lives.
Yeah. Her takeaway says couples who work on acquiring common interests as the years go by are much happier than those in which each partner gets increasingly involved in a separate set of activities. Right. So you're living parallel lives. You're not involved with each other. You're not doing things together. He does his thing. She does hers. That's not conducive to
parallel
a good marriage.
Universe.
It's not a parallel universe.
It is a parallel universe. All right, I agree with that one too.
Okay.
So three checks. We're three
check,
for three
check, check.
Here.
Myth four, to be happy, oh, you'll love this one. You need to talk about relationship challenges and problems often. What are you looking for? You're looking for a button. I can see it.
That's not the one. That's the wrong one. I'm sorry. Oh, here's the talking one.
That's the one.
There we go. All right.
She says, the fact is, in order for intimacy to occur in a relationship, both partners need to share and disclose concerns from time to time. But be careful about how much time you spend on conscious relationship maintenance, because men and women have very different tolerances for relationship talk. Women, as a rule, have a positive association with relationship talk. It makes them feel connected and happy. Men, on the other hand, do not enjoy relationship talk. It makes them feel blamed, worried,
and distressed. I agree with that too. We're four for four. No, that's the fact. What was the takeaway?
The takeaway is women carefully pick those moments when you feel it's necessary to talk about your relationship feelings.
Carefully pick those moments. Do not be in a rush. Oh, we got to talk about everything in our relationship. La, 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 la. No. Carefully choose. Choose your battles, ladies.
But she also said that men, you need to realize that she has a need to clarify and check in, and that you feel reassuring to her, even if it it feels reassuring to her, even if it doesn't to you.
Yeah, but you'll be more likely to succeed if you're not constantly trying to rehearse every little thing that you're experiencing on
but
the inside.
But you cannot talk about it at all.
All right, I agree with that. We're four for four.
I agree with all of her takeaways. Yes, and from the Huffington Post, too. I thought that was pretty spectacular.
I didn't agree necessarily with the way she was approaching that first one, but her takeaway I agree with. So, we agree with Terry or Buck.
Ross, did you find pee-picking?
All that I get with pee-picking is taking me back to phrases like cotton picking, and then it takes you to a guy by the name of Tennessee Ernie Ford. He was
a country
singer, entertainer, recording artist who used that bless your little pee-picking heart.
That's where he came up with it.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
It was probably his version of cotton picking heart.
Yep. Well, all right. Well, now that we have enlightened the world as to the origins of pee-picking, bless all your little pee-picking hearts while we go to break. And when we come back, we will continue our discussion on things all pee-picking on The Mark Gunger Show.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to radio@markgunger.com and Mark can answer them during one of our shows. If you like listening to Mark Gunger on the radio, you'll love watching him live. Each week, Mark presents his Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar in cities across the country. This wildly entertaining and informative event is designed to bring hope and positive change to your marriage, improve your communication, help your spouse to better understand you and your needs.
Men are more interested in sex than their wives. Why would you say that? Because generally it's true. But it's not always true. There are a lot of relationships where the wife is much more interested in sex than her husband. If you're here tonight and your wife is much more interested in sex than you are, I think I speak for all the men here when I say that we hate you.
Don't wait. Events are filling up fast. To view a schedule and register for an upcoming event, visit us today online at laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
Yes, we hope you're enjoying the start of your Christmas season as we are into the glorious month of December here on the Mark Gunger Show. Are you planning anything? unusually strange or unusual for Christmas, Mrs. Brierley?
I am not. Just having the fam over and opening presents, cooking, eating ourselves into oblivion, the usual standard Christmas fare.
I'm in bad shape because I'm already like a human burrito.
Back to this.
Now, normally, you try to not be so chubby going into the holidays so that at the end of the holidays, you can justify being a burrito.
No, it makes sense because you dress up as Santa Claus on Christmas morning for
and
the kids.
Costume
so
fits.
It's kind of like, you know.
Oh, yeah, I'm just doing it for the children.
You're playing
no,
the part.
No, required.
Oh, I'm doing it for the children. It's all a sacrifice.
Right.
For the love of the children. That's why I look like a fat man.
I tell you, you need to go on the diet. running regiment with me. Come on,
running?
Come out and run. Come out and run with me.
I just run.
2.5 miles. Come on,
gun.
You'll lose
then
it.
I'll run.
You're really going to be on a running regiment?
Well, I have been.
Why?
Because I want to do a triathlon.
Have fun.
So I'm trying to get my sad self in shape to do it. Hey, I have a request for Christmas music, Ross.
What's that?
The Harry Connick song, the Happy Ho 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 to You song. Come on, find it and put it in. Happy Ho 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 to You. You know that
I
one?
Will.
Come on,
I will find
that one.
It.
I like that one.
I will.
Happy ho ho,
happy.
Like a inner city thing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh no!
Not that kind of.
Oh
ho.
No!
Not that kind of ho.
A bunch of happy hoes here.
Mm-hmm. Oh no!
Oh, that's. I don't care who you are. That's funny right there.
That's right.
As you're looking for some buttons over there, wildly searching. I don't know
I'm
what you're looking
myself.
For. You're looking
have,
for the Harry Connick song.
I have it.
I used to have that set on my answering machine for a while.
You used to have it on your answering
yeah,
machine?
Yeah, Christmas time, I would play that song. You know,
I got
so
Ding
when
Dong,
someone
the witch
got
is
the
dead.
Answering machine.
I like that one.
Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead?
Yeah.
Another witch theme going on. You're on That's the wrong right. holiday. That was that was not Christmas. That
hey,
was
we missed that one.
Months ago.
I got the Merry Land of Oz.
What does that have to do with Christmas?
I don't know. I'm just saying. That's what I got.
So you
here.
Dress up as Santa, Mark, for Christmas?
Oh, he does.
I do.
You do. It's and do they know it's you or do they think it's Santa?
They do now.
They all know what.
They know
yeah.
it's you.
Yeah.
It's Grandpa.
My son was a little, you know, taken back a few times when he was really young. He yeah. would come out in his outfit and he wouldn't come to because he would never
Santa
go
Santa freaks
sit.
Kids out. You know that.
Oh, well, my son, I saw that. We tried to get him to go get his picture taken at the mall and he would not do
they
it.
They all do. They cry and scream. Why do we do that to our kids?
It's like the movie A Christmas, you know, what was that?
Christmas
Carol?
Story.
Oh, The Christmas Story, right. Where the kid's up there and they can't wait all day long and they finally get up there and he just, yes, he bellows and then slides
oh
down the slide.
Gosh. I love that movie.
I can't wait. I can't wait for Christmas
That
day.
Is something we do at our house at Christmas.
Watch
we have
all
a whole
day long.
List of all of the Christmas movies. It's a Wonderful Life, Elf. The preacher's wife, the bishop's wife, that one, the old one, not the new one. Christmas Vacation, all of the, you know,
yes.
all, we do the movie marathon.
Elf is becoming a great
There is
the
no
Christmas
song called
movies.
Happy Ho Ho Ho.
I don't know what it's called.
What
That's
about
just
those
what the
hoes?
Chorus is. It's a Harry
Connick
Jr. song.
The hoes are too happy. That's the problem in our country.
I didn't say that was the name
we
of
got
the
unhappy,
song.
We got unhappy marriages and happy hoes.
There's well, something this, wrong.
And what we need are unhappy hoes.
This might be the last
marriages.
Show we do.
Oh, this is
December
must, 3rd. It must have been old Santa Claus.
Adios,
that's
thank
the one,
you.
That's the song
must
you
be Santa.
This one?
I think so.
I think I saw old Santa.
Yes, 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 that's it. That's it.
It's already been played, so I don't have to pick it now.
Really droopy, but I really do believe.
Everybody get up and dance now.
It must have been old Santa. Cause I saw his big red head. And I know my mom and dad can't fly like that. Oh no.
I know my mom and dad can't fly like that. Bah, bah, bah.
And then I heard some footsteps in the hall outside my door.
All right, where's the ho, ho, ho?
The same
right.
old
it's coming.
Christmas trick my
coming.
Dad had played since I was born. He stands outside my bedroom yelling ho, ho, ho because
there it was.
He knows I don't believe in Santa Claus.
No way. I know I don't believe in Santa Claus.
My daddy sees me peeking from my door.
So where's the ho, ho, ho?
Anyway. Keep going.
Every year he tries to fool me, but I'm a big boy now. I don't believe in Santa or his sleigh.
No, no way.
So I went back to my bed, and I curled up nice and tight.
Oh, yeah.
I stared out of my window, and I looked into the
it's at the end. Oh, at the end.
Oh, to the very end?
Sorry, sorry, ladies and gentlemen. We will get back to all things concerning marriage after this.
No, keep it going. Turn it up, Jimmy. Oh, yeah.
Hey! Santa Claus, Santa Claus.
It's coming, it's coming.
Must have been old Santa Claus.
Everybody sing it.
Santa Claus, Santa Claus. Happy ho, ho, ho.
Here it is.
And then I heard old Rudolph telling me to come outside.
Oh yeah.
He told me that old Santa wanted me to take a ride. I climbed out from my window and I jumped onto his sleigh. And then old Santa took me up and away.
Santa took me up and away.
It's modulating.
On the rooftop of my sleepy town below.
We modulated twice now.
I saw my big red schoolhouse in the town square picture show.
Uh-huh.
It was really past my bedtime, and so old Santa said,
little boys like you should be in bed.
So I hollered ho, ho, ho.
Oh,
hey,
hey,
there you go. Santa's hat. Like the third time.
And he let me hold the reins a while. We pull up to my window, and I jump back in my room, and I wave goodbye to Santa with a smile. When I woke up Christmas morning,
come on, shake it.
Well, it was clear and bright.
Woo!
My parents said my window had blown open in the night. I smiled as I told them that it must have been the cat, and they asked me where I got my big red hat. Yeah, yeah.
Ask me where I got that big red hat.
Come on.
Oh, I gotta fade out here.
Santa Claus,
oh, here it is.
Santa Claus, it must have been old Santa Claus.
Go ahead, Jim.
Santa
start the
Claus,
other music.
Happy ho, ho, ho to you.
Everybody.
Ho, ho, ho to you.
All that for this part.
Happy ho, ho, ho to you.
Thank you for playing it.
All right. We got way too many hoes, Happy, in this show. Anyway, all right. When we come back, we will actually try to do something serious. I don't know, maybe we won't. Discussing more of your dilemmas concerning life, love, and marriage. If you have any questions, you can zap them over to us at radio@markgunger.com. That's radio@markgunger.com. And throw us whatever you got, man. Might be a dating question, might be a problem you're having, might be a problem you're having with your relatives, might be having, I don't know, just whatever. Send us your stuff. We'll see you right after the break.
Now, available on DVD, Manly Man 2. Worth the Fight.
Oh, I'm so sick to death of this politically correct. Don't shoot the animals. They might get their feelings hurt. This is Wisconsin. You don't even pretend to be animal rights activists around here. You guys are like, see the bunny, shoot it, eat it, make a hat.
Worth the Fight. In this DVD, we take on the mission to free men from the chains of political correctness and prevent our eventual wussification.
We wussified the poor child, and now we got self-esteem issues. Ooh, Johnny can't tie his shoe. Let's not make him learn. What if he's not as good as another kid and feels embarrassed? Let's put Velcro straps on children's shoes.
This funny and hard-hitting DVD empowers men to stand up and become the man that God sees in all of them. Order yours today at laughyourway.com.
Make faithplace.org your first stop on the web every morning because we have the stuff to help your day take off just right. You'll find a daily scripture, a video pick of the day, and the top 5 faith and lifestyle news stories that you won't find on most conventional news media. And of course, our stream of talk shows where your questions and dilemmas are answered with Bible-based advice. Plus, we offer you free sets of Christian music every weekday. And did we mention we post a new heart-healthy recipe each day, too? It's all free for you at www.faithplace.org.
Come, they told me, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum, a newborn born king to see, pa-rum-pa-bum-bum. Our finest gifts we bring, pa-rum-pa-bum-bum, rum-pa-bum-bum, rum-pa-bum-bum.
Who wrote these words?
Peace on earth, can it be?
Who's this again?
David Bowie and Bing Crosby.
Yeah, yeah. Perhaps we'll see. They're cool, actually.
1970.
Our finest day.
Turn up a little bit. Turn up a little bit.
Glory. Say the day.
Bing Crosby and
David Bowie.
David Bowie.
It was actually aired as a Christmas program.
It was. I remember watching it as a kid. Honestly, I do.
You were a kid then?
Thanks, Ross.
When was this? In the early 70s?
77.
How
are you going to fade that out? I thought you were like 47 in the early 70s.
I'm 47 now, thank you very much. I was 11. I was 11.
So you weren't really a kid.
You were 11 in the 70s?
11's a kid, yes.
I'm old.
You are. You're a geezer.
I'm on the verge of geezerhood. Not quite a geezer yet.
I think you slipped over the edge of geezerhood.
Anyway, back on the Mark Unger Show where we try to answer your questions about life, love, and marriage.
Are you ready?
We love marriage.
Are you ready for a question finally?
Marriage.
Yes, I'm
35
ready.
35 minutes into the program?
Yep.
Okay, ready? After viewing some of your YouTube presentations, I am conflicted.
Well, there's a shock. I'm just amazed that someone would be confused about me.
Your boy's different.
That's an amazing thing. I don't know how that could possibly...
You cause someone to be conflicted.
All right, all right.
He says, I am sensing an irreverence.
All right, wait a minute. If you are sensing an irreverence, your sensors are working properly.
Indeed.
Now, what a strange thing. Uh-huh. How could you not listen to my stuff and not walk away going, I think he's a little different. I think he's a little strange.
Your boy's different.
Sometimes people get into big theological debates over stuff that I say.
Mm-hmm.
Do I look like a theologian to you?
No. That would be a no.
For heaven's sakes.
I don't know many theologians that have their own bobblehead.
That's right. Yes. How many theologians have their own bobblehead?
I think you may be the first.
So if you get a sense, if you might possibly be sensing a little bit of irreverence, that's probably correct. You know, the show.
He's sensing,
you know,
correctly. His sensors are working.
Yeah, your sensors are working properly. Okay. And I tend to be a, what's the word? I forget the word. I had it all in my head for a second. My brain. I'm getting old.
Senior moment.
Hyperbolist. That's what I'm thinking.
Hyperbolist.
A hyperbolist. A hyperbolist is one who uses gross exaggerations in order to make points. Tends to sound a little silly, a little irreverent at point. But the normal, everyday guy in the street gets it.
Some people have accused you of being sophomoric.
Yeah, but usually pinheads. I get it. Intellectuals don't like me. Mm-hmm. What a shock.
Right.
What part of my presentation, my show, my clips, falls into the intellectual category?
According to my studies.
Yeah. According to my studies, I think you pinheads are just a bunch of pinheads. But that's just my studies. All right, go ahead.
Okay.
What does he have to say?
He wants to know if you incorporate any of the teachings of the theology of the body. He says he has come to respect our bodies as an act of creation with mm-hmm. a mind and a heart. Mm-hmm. And we should be compelled by the heart to act honorably to God, not as a bag of chemicals that set off reactions. That is the message that I got from your YouTube presentation on men and their sex drive.
That we are a bag of chemicals?
Yes. Okay, I don't even know what the theology of the body is.
Dude, relax a little bit, okay? First of all, you know how many billions of men are on the earth who are pretty much a bag of chemicals? And they do get set off, and they're not thinking the theology of the body. They're not thinking, what is my relationship to Christ during these feelings? So when I describe a typical man's drive, that is exactly what is going on. It's him dealing with his chemicals in his, what was he called it? A bag of chemicals?
A bag of chemicals. Not as a bag of chemicals that set off reactions.
Yeah. So there are chemicals in his bag.
No.
They are. Oh, that's exactly right. That's irreverent.
That is highly irreverent.
That is highly disgustingly. I need a swirly for such talk.
You do.
How can I?
Especially since the origin of the body, you know, the theology of the body is Pope John Paul II.
Yeah, actually, he's. I like Pope John Paul II. And in fact, I would argue that some of my teachings on sex are more Catholic than they are evangelical or Protestant. Mm-hmm. You know, I agree with him in many. In fact, he was the first one I ever heard talk about not experiencing sex from a lust standpoint. I'd never thought of such a thing before. But what do you mean? You know, and I remember when I was hearing the report, you know, everybody was laughing at the Pope. You know, oh, what does he know about? He never had sex. But it never left my head. And if anybody preaches harder against lust being part of your sex experience, I don't know who he is, because I hammer it. And I have given the Pope credit for putting that thought in my head these many years ago. And, you know, and of course, our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit and stuff like that. So that's fine. Now, the whole teaching of the theology of the body, I don't know. It is a Catholic thing. I'm not a Catholic, and I don't read Catholic things. So not that I hate Catholics. I barely have time for Protestant things, for heaven's sakes. So I don't know all what you're talking about. I will say this. I don't know if this person who wrote this to me comes from that thinking, but they approach sex as, you know, it should be a deeply holy experience. Sacred. Kind of like taking communion. And, you know, seriously, dude, that's awfully creepy. When I'm doing the wild thing, I ain't thinking about communion.
I ain't thinking
about worshiping Jesus. Although I'm very thankful to Jesus, I must say, throughout the entire experience. Praise God. Hallelujah. So if that bothers you, then so be it. But, you know, if you think I refer to man as a bag of chemicals, yes. Yes, we have chemicals in our bag that make us do what we do. Now, I'm not saying that it justifies bad behavior.
No.
Now, a lot of guys say, you know, because we are just a bunch of animals, you know, that's why men commit adultery and it's all normal. No. I do not think God will not hold us blameless for the way that we approach sex. I'm saying do it right. Do it in the context of marriage. However, I don't think we have to over-spiritualize it. I don't think we have to teach people that when they're making love, it's as holy as, you know, communion or something like that.
But there's whole books written about that. You don't have any of them, but I know I've seen them looking. People write books about the sacredness and it's holy, and that's just what they do, that it gets very over-spiritualized.
Well, very much so. There's a book here by a brilliant author by the name of...
Who would that be?
Mark Gungor.
Oh!
Wow. Brilliant. Brilliant man. I love this man.
I told you that my 84-year-old grandmother said it's the best book she's ever read. Everybody on the planet should read that book. She thought it was amazing, and not just because her granddaughter helped
her
write it.
Who said this?
My grandmother.
I love your grandmother. I think I'm in love with your grandmother.
No. She doesn't want a man. She told me that.
She doesn't want a man. This is a wise woman.
She's all done with men. Sorry.
How old is Granny?
84. 84.
84. Wow. Good heavens. I can't even find it. What are you looking for? I wrote the dumb book and I don't even know where. Actually, you wrote more of it than I did, I think.
Well, I've read it more
you
times.
Read it more.
Than
you read it more than I have, yes. Just talking about the people who tend to over spiritualize.
Well, the other thing that this guy has done is that he's done something that nobody can ever, 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 ever do with Mark Gungor, and that's take you out of context. If he's just watched a few things on YouTube, you're a very dangerous man when taken out of context.
I'm a dangerous man in context. Okay, here I go. I must mention there are two groups of people. This is from page 143. Class, everyone, pay attention. Turn to page 143 in Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. Brilliant, brilliant book. I must mention, the writer says, the brilliant writer that he is, that there are two groups of people who take issue with my approach to the subject of sex. The first are those representing academia. I get in trouble with this group because I come across as more sophomoric than academic when I talk about sex. However, I prefer not to talk about sex as though it were something done in a lab or a sterile operating room. I do not use terms like male genitalia or breasts. I prefer the nomenclature wieners and boobs. Now, I don't refer to... This is in the book. Read it. I don't refer
I
to
have.
How... You have read it. Yeah, not you. I'm talking to everybody else. I don't refer to how men are particularly fond of a woman's posterior, I will simply say that some men start the launch sequence the moment they see their wife's butt. It's not that I'm trying to be tawdry or crude, though I have been frequently accused of being so. It is that I think God created sex to be fun, so talking about this enterprise in a way that makes people giggle seems totally, completely appropriate to me. Besides, I am not an academic and have never claimed to be. That's group number
Indeed.
One. All right, now, this brilliant book I will continue to read from, page 144. The other group that I seem to offend is the radically prudish religious crowd. I have greatly looked forward to writing on the subject, particularly as a pastor. Most ministers are scared to death to talk about sex. I had one pastor's wife who was getting ready for an interview on a radio broadcast once say to me, "You're not going to use the S word, are you?" At first, I wasn't sure what she was talking about. In fact, the first S word that popped into my mind had four letters, not three. Then it dawned on me, oh my goodness, she meant sex. Holy cow. There are some people so uptight about this subject that they refuse to even say the word sex. Most pastors prefer to use the word intimacy. Oh, they don't want to discuss intimacy. I've often wondered if it's not like this. Hold on, try that again. Back up. I've often wondered if it's not this Pollyanna approach that is most responsible for such statistics as a 50% of Christian men being involved in pornography, Christian teenagers having sex and getting pregnant. And on and on and on. I think this stuff just gets us all in trouble, is basically what I'm trying to say here.
So you're an equal opportunity offender. That's what you're saying.
All right, I think I'm done.
All done?
It's a good book.
It is a good book.
You like that book?
Yeah, one of my favorite books.
You know why I know it's a good book? Because when I read it and read it and read it and read it and wrote it and read it and edited it and two and a half years of my life went into it. And when the final manuscript...
Quit your writing, woman!
Seriously, when the final manuscript came back and I read that through from start to finish, it still impacted me. I mean, there were times that it's still like... It was amazing to me, and I knew it front to back, upside down, backwards, and it was still very powerful. And that's why I know
that
it's a great
book.
It's not. I'm telling you.
And that's why she works for me, folks.
He doesn't pay me enough for that.
She loves me. But, it's funny because, you know, I talk about it. Here's the funny. My brother Eddie did most of the work on the book. There were my ideas and concepts. Mm-hmm. Then I went and took it and put it in my own language, and then mm-hmm. you guys edit it, re-edit it. So oftentimes people will, you know, in an interview say to me, you know, on page, 87, you said such and such in your book. What did you mean by that? And I think, really, I said that? First of all, it's been years since this was written. Secondly, it's highly likely that I did not say that.
That's right.
But some of the other contributors to the book.
We make you sound very intelligent.
Beyond my intelligence, I must say. All right. Okay. Another email.
Next question. This one from Facebook, actually. Someone wrote in on Facebook. So if you want to ask questions on Facebook, we can pull them from there, too. She says, hello, Mark. I wanted to know what roles girlfriends are to play with their boyfriends. Is it the same as
cinnamon
being...
rolls, I would say.
Oh, stop.
One of
That's
the best
coming
rolls.
From the burrito. Come on.
Oh, I'm sorry. No wonder I'm the human
coming
burrito.
From burrito.
Everything's in food to me.
That's your new nickname.
The human burrito. Dana says that's my superhero. Superpowers come from...
What a great costume.
Call the human burrito.
I'm waiting for someone to send in a picture of you with your head on a burrito. It's going to come. You know
yeah,
somebody's going to send it.
Now, since you said that, it'll never
No, even if I hadn't said it, you know it was going to come in that inbox sooner or later. Okay, so she wants to know, what is the role that a girlfriend plays with her boyfriend? Is it the same as being married? Seems like a very odd question. No, it's not
no,
the same
it's not
for
the same
a lot
as
of
being
reasons.
Married. Yes, you're not his wife, and he does not have the privileges that a husband would have. Wow. So do not be boinking the boy. No boy boinking. Are you hearing me? No boy boinking. Boy boinking is off.
Sorry, I just have nothing to say with that. Boy boinking is off. I agree.
Hold on, I'm not getting a response from you guys. You're all staring at me. He's in boy boinking.
Besides that... I mean,
well, even sort of boinking. Behave yourself.
Boundaries.
Right? And it's not your job. You know, you're not his wife. You're not his mother. You're his girlfriend. And he should get serious with you. And if he's really serious about you, you should be getting a proposal from him forthwith.
That's right.
Forthwith.
Forthwith.
Forthwith. Only a brilliant man would say forthwith.
That's the proof right there.
Yeah, don't
you're
be none of these nonsense dating for years and years and years and years and years. No. Much more than a year. You beat him over the head with a brick. All right? If at toward the end of the year, if this boy has not said, I love you, baby, I cannot live without you, let's get married and do the wild thing, then kick him out. All right? None of this extended dating nonsense. You single people out there. Then they wonder why they're crawling in a sack with each other.
Because they've dated forever.
They've been dating for 5 years right. And pawing all over each other. And, oh, but we didn't mean for it to happen. What do you think? Goodness gracious. Make a plan. If he loves you, and seriously, girls, don't let some guy treat you like that, keeping you on the hook. On the hook, and you dangling around him and circling around his orbit like the planet Pluto. Because Pluto isn't a planet anymore, is it?
Apparently, they took it off
the list.
They
took it off. We need another planet. What's another planet?
Saturn.
Saturn has orbit.
That's
orbiting
rings.
Rings, yes, okay. Correct. Don't be one of these rings going around his orbit for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years.
Waiting
goodness gracious.
And waiting
if
and
this
waiting.
Guy doesn't have enough respect for you after a year or so of marriage, of dating, to want to make you his wife, get away from him. Dump his butt. Dump his butt. That's what I say. None of this. All this nonsense of
the question is though respect though. The woman's got to be able to respect herself first and have some, you know, standards herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they just let these guys just drag them along and drag them along. What is that?
I think it's a
do they think they can't do better? Do they think that that's the best they're going to get? What, I don't know.
No, you kick him to the curb. And when absolutely. He freaks out, say, hey, I'm in this for real. If you love me, you say you love me, marry me. None of this nonsense.
But why should you even have to ask for what's my role?
Because people are confused about their roles today.
Exactly.
And I get it, because the culture's all saying, you're too young to get married. Right. Oh, yeah. You can't get married every year. You got to date for like 89 years first, and then, you know, see, you tell that boy, if he doesn't get serious with it, you just look at him and sing the song. Whoops, wrong button. Right, here you get all queued up, and then you push the wrong button. Try that button again. Here we go.
Yes,
that's what you tell him.
And I don't mean all my rosy red lips.
Come on.
And you.
We're through.
And there's only one thing left for you to do.
That's what you tell them.
You just come on over here one last time. Fuck her up and close your eyes.
Fuck her up.
And kiss her this.
Goodbye.
Kiss this.
And kiss this.
Oh, yeah.
Goodbye.
That's what I'm talking about right there. Whoops. A little out of control with the buttons here today. I'm pushing buttons I should be putting, not pushing when I should. Anyway, don't put up with that. You say, come on, if we're going to do this, let's do this right. Anyway, we need to take a break. We'll be right back with more on The Mark Gunger Show.
He's a pastor, best-selling author, and popular marriage speaker. He's Mark Gunger, bringing you hard-hitting and honest marriage advice.
This Christmas season, when it comes to looking for that special gift for that special someone in your life, think outside the box and go to laughyourway.com, where all of Mark Gunger's DVDs are buy one, get one half off. This Christmas, buy the gift that will keep on giving. This offer is available only at laughyourway.com.
Mark Gunger's sold-out women's conference is now available on DVD.
Here's the question of the evening. Why would a man like myself be concerned about helping women become strong, confident women? Because I'm concerned about marriages, families, churches. Ultimately, I'm concerned about men. You're here tonight because I'm concerned about men. Why would I be concerned about men? Because I do not believe that we will be able to unlock the spiritual potential in men as long as we have women who enable those men to act very badly.
Order your Butt-Kicking Women's Conference DVD with over 6 hours of life-changing speakers, available at laughyourway.com.
Glory to God, oh, glory
on the Mark Gunger Show, discussing all things marriage. What is that, third day?
That is third day.
Yeah, yeah.
Their
what
album
I really liked
great.
Is you guys doing the whole air band thing. I'm sitting here watching both of you, and it's like the Battle of the Air Bands contest in front of me.
That's our next set with the Mark Gunger Show. We're thinking about taking it onto video. So you guys can actually watch us do this show. It'll be great fun.
Capturing the insanity. It'll be hilarious. Live on video.
Yes. All right, dear.
Okay, next question. Now, we have answered this question several times, but you know you pick up new listeners all the time, and they haven't heard you answer it, so they're asking again. So people who have heard the answer, you know what he's going to say, but that's okay. The gentleman writes, I am a chaplain in the U.S. Army. I just conducted a marriage retreat using Laugh Your Way. It was very well received. I have a question, though, Mark. Spending a lot of time talking about pornography and masturbation. You spend a lot of time talking about it, sorry. Mm-hmm. He agrees with what you say, and he appreciates your passion. But he wonders, and so do his soldiers, what you would say about being absent from one's wife for 8 or more months at a time. Does remaining true to Mark's principles mean that the only sexual release a man will have during a lengthy deployment is through nocturnal emissions? Does Mark rule out masturbation in these circumstances? I told my couples that I would ask Mark this question and get back to them if he responded.
If I respond, of course I'll respond. Mostly because I love the sound of my own voice.
True.
Very true. All right, let's see. Let's go back to the Mark Gunger book. This brilliant, brilliant book. I talk about it in here somewhere. I even mention soldiers, don't I?
Yes, I think you do.
Here it is. This is from the chapter entitled Don't Be Yanking.
But it's the only book on the planet that has that for a
Don't
title
be
chapter,
yanking on yourself, for the love of heaven. All right? Masturbation is such a pathetic substitute for sex. Anyway, and dear chaplain, first of all, let me say thank you for your service. Absolutely. And for all your soldiers. Let them know we love them and appreciate them. God bless you guys for all you do. Our prayers are with you. And thanks for the playing the DVDs, and we got lots of soldiers all over the world who watch these things. Anyway, I'm very against it, as you can tell. However, page 202. Class, pay attention. 202. Let me be clear, writes Mr. Gunger, this brilliant man. I do not have a problem with couples learning about each other's body by stimulating each other, and I do not have a problem with couples who are separated from each other for extended periods of time, talking sexually on the phone or communicating via the internet and touching themselves as they interact with each other, still not as great as the real thing. Basically, I'm cutting slack when these guys are in this situation. My objection is tying masturbation to pornography and to fantasies that create destructive addictions. My objection with masturbation is when it becomes a solo endeavor practice in an imaginary world of unrealistic sexual fantasy. My objection is with men and women who, while living in a home with a real person, choose to ignore that person and take matters, as we shall say, into their own hands. My objection is with lying to teenagers and encouraging them to engage in activity that is peddled as good and natural when it holds the potential to damage their sex lives. Masturbation is not real sex. It is not great sex. It is not fulfilling sex. It is a counterfeit experience that can rob you of the joy of real sex. Brilliantly said! By the book.
There you go. There you have it.
By the book.
Anyway, can you get a hold? Can you email him back?
Yes, I can email.
Why don't you get his information? And if he doesn't have it, let's send it to him.
Okay.
So I think you'll understand that, and the soldiers will understand it as well. That's really my objection to all this stuff. Remember, when I'm talking in a marriage conference, I'm not talking to guys who are separated from their wives a year at a time. Mm-hmm. So actually, you know what I'd love to do? I would love to do a Laugh Your Way to a Better seminar, strictly for military,
mm-hmm.
with a military audience. Some of you guys out there, I know I got a lot of military personnel who listen to this, a lot of chaplains and stuff. Come on, can't one of you guys get a theater at one of your bases or near your base? Let's fill it up with 400 soldiers and their wives, mm-hmm. and their gear, and I'm not in their gear, but you know, their
unis,
yep,
whatever
fatigues.
Call them. Fatigues and whatnot, like
unis.
And do a whole Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar. We'll videotape it, and we can address these issues more, because there's lots of specific issues to military personnel.
Absolutely.
And then release a Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar strictly
exclusively
for military families. So we would love to do that, but we need you guys to make it happen, because I cannot make it happen on my own.
Well, they do have unique challenges that regular marriages that you address in the normal seminar.
Yeah, so they just
got to
understand that. And you chaplains, when guys ask you questions about stuff that's outside a normal situation just say, well, you have to understand, guys, he's not talking to military people. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to people who are living with each other in the same house, masturbating and doing all these other stupid things that is destructive and harmful and blah, 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 blah.
But I think the important key is for you, it's not that you are condemning it, but yet also it's...
Well, I'm pretty strong.
I know you are, but if they're away from each other for...
I'm condemning it. I think it's asinine.
For a year or more, just, I mean, if they're choosing
that... Yeah,
if
you feel you got to. First of all, you know, your body knows how to handle it. There's wet dreams, all kinds of stuff. It's not like masturbating is great sex. It's not. It's pathetic, artificial sex. And if you can fantasize and think about your wife or your spouse while you're doing this... I cut you slack on it. God bless you. I have no problem with that.
But I would challenge it. I would bet you it's more pornography.
Oh, but it's a porn driven. You know, now what you're saying. Exactly. You said because you're away from your wife, you can look at dirty pictures and dirty things and sit there yanking on yourself while you're fantasizing about somebody else's wife, somebody else's girlfriend. That's wrong in every situation. Think about your wife. Think about your spouse. If you guys need to get a buzz doing it that way to just kind of tie you over, I cut you slack on that. All right? But that's not what the what I'm talking about in the conference. That's not the context. Right. Of the people who are in there. So,
okay, one more. Do you have time for one more?
If you can reach him, find out and see if we can send him a book.
Okay. I will do that.
An autograph book.
An autograph book.
Autograph, because that will be worth at least 4 cents more than the regular book. All right, 2 minutes. What do you got?
I have been married for 26 years now, and my wife thinks she doesn't love me anymore. She has a friend that just turned 40 and got a divorce. I believe this friend is a factor in the way my wife is thinking. I love her very much, more than when we got first married. I need prayer and advice in this situation. I don't want to separate. Do you have any advice?
Yeah, I would get your faith community involved. You know, talk to your pastor, talk to your friends, talk to your family. Don't keep this as a secret. Don't be one of these couples, and I virtually guarantee what's happening is nobody knows about this. His church doesn't know about it. His pastor doesn't know about it. Her family doesn't know about it. His family doesn't know about it. They're all sneaking around behind. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Get off this crazy cycle of everybody keeping everything secret when you're struggling. Because when you do that, it only ends up in disaster. I promise you, there are thousands of couples today, at least, who are going to be getting divorced. And the people in their churches and stuff, when they hear it, will go, wow, I didn't even know they weren't getting along. That has to stop. By you taking it off the island, taking it out of secret, putting the light of day on it, now her friends and her other friends can talk to her, and her church friends can talk to her. Her family can talk to her. Right now, she's being influenced by a pinheaded woman who is happy that she got a divorce and encourage her to do the same. Because it has all kinds of promise. New man, new freedoms and stuff. But talk to most people who've been down this road. It's not a fun road. And the starting over is very difficult. Anyway, God bless you guys. See you on Monday.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.